the turret. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You're back with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. We've got some really exciting stuff to talk about today, but we're going to talk about something now that is just as exciting, and that is that our own Christopher O'Brien was one of the featured speakers at this past week's Paradigm Symposium in Minnesota. Can you tell us about it? Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was good. Micah Hanks, of course, and Scotty Roberts have both been guests on the show, and this is the second year they put on this particular conference. It was in a beautiful place in St. Paul. It was the old Union Station Railroad Terminal, and the conference was in the big cavernous hall, the main hall of the former, I guess, train station. Had these big, tall, 60-foot ceilings, and so it sounded rather boomy in there. But they did have a good sound system. They did a complete, three-camera video shoot, and the speakers were all interesting. I actually attended a few of the lectures, unlike I do at other conferences. Normally, at other conferences, I'm pretty up to speed on what people are going to be presenting on, so I don't often find myself sitting in those hard chairs, but they had nice, soft, cushy chairs for everybody, and the speaker lineup was very interesting. I have never heard Robert Bivol and Robert Schock speak. John Wharton from the show Destination Truth was there. Of course, today's guest, Nick Redfern, was there. I really was fascinated by his talk, and we'll get into what he presented on, which is material from his new book, For Nobody's Eyes Only, which I highly recommend. I've read it since receiving it, and had a chance to talk a bit with Nick about it. And we'll speak with him, obviously, today about that book.
There's no truth to the rumor, by the way, that Sheena Easton's going to do a song called For Nobody's Eyes Only.
I don't believe so, Jim.
That's such an in-joke. Of course, she sang the theme for your Eyes Only, the James
right.
Bond movie, one of the Roger Moore movies, which wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't. I think Nick would probably want the Ramones to do it.
For Nobody's Eyes Only.
Yeah.
I really like that title.
Well, it is a good title, and it's a good book, and we'll find out more about it later. I also met a number of broadcasters, fellow broadcasters who were there. We participated in a special broadcasters panel, which I think some people found interesting. Basically, these events are a chance for like-minded investigator researcher types to get together and compare notes and let their hair down a little bit and have some fun. It was quite a good turnout. And my particular talk was, I think, particularly well-received. I felt a little bit like a fish out of water. I was, amongst all these guys talking about revisionist archaeology and the pyramids and Luxor and all these cool digs and stuff. And so getting up there and discussing the unexplained livestock death phenomenon, I thought would be a little bit strange for people. But I was amazed at the feedback and gratified too, I might add. The new book is generating quite a bit of interest. And if the presentation is any indication of how the book's going to be received, I'm looking forward to it, because I had a number of people say that they thought my talk, my talk was their favorite talk, and it totally changed their perspective on these unexplained livestock deaths. And I felt like I really did accomplish something there by going through some of the highlights of my research. It is a huge voluminous book. It's going to be about 300,000 words, Gene. I did a word count on the chapters, and I don't know. It's getting to the point where I'm not sure if the publisher is going to want to ship the thing. Anyway, it was all good, and we'll hear more about it from Nick. It was my first opportunity to meet the prolific Nick Redfern, and we actually shared a room during the conference or symposium to help Mike and Scotty save some dough. So we shared a room, and you know, it's like I've known Nick for years, but I've never actually met him. And so, you know, I felt like I was kind of reuniting with a long lost old friend in a way.
That must have been a lot of fun. You didn't get blasted at night, did you?
I wouldn't say blasted, no. But I had some fun down in the Best Western bar there a few nights, along with everybody else. Quite a number of people would, of course, hang out afterwards. And I met some scientists who were there. I had dinner with a guy who claimed he was an arch skeptic and even started a critical thinking group, I think, or a skeptics group. And he slowly, over the years, being drawn back towards the middle. And so he and his wife took me out to dinner. He's a Paracast listener. That's one of the reasons why he's become much more open-minded about the subjects we cover here.
You know what? We're making an impression on these people. A few quick questions before we end the segment. Did you get a sense to estimate how many people actually showed up?
You know, I'm going to have to talk with Scotty and Micah about that. It's kind of rough because I'm sure there were a number of people that just attended for the day, let's say locals. The chairs looked three quarters full, possibly a little more. So I'd say at any one given time, there are at least 200, maybe 225 people there. I'm sure there was, like I said, some people that did revolve through. Some of the lectures that seemed to be better attended than others. So, until I really get a head count and a number from Scotty and Mike, I really can't answer that accurately.
Did you get a chance to talk with them about our tentative plans to put on a conference?
You know, I didn't really bring it up. The two of them were extremely busy. They were running around, you know, taking care of things, putting out fires, doing all the things that, you know, goes into organizing an event like this. So I did mention that we were thinking about it and that I want to talk to them later about it and get some pointers. I do know last year went kind of rough for, you know, because to start these things out and to do your first one, you know, there's invariably going to be problems. But I think it appeared to run a lot smoother. They had a new venue this year, and it did appear to run a bit smoother based on what I heard from last year. So that was all good. But, yeah, we'll have to get Micah back on at some point and pick his brain and get some ideas, you know, to devote, you know, his experience to making ours less problematic if we do decide to go ahead with the conference, which I'd like to do.
We're still considering locations, actually considering Phoenix, maybe Las Vegas, maybe Los Angeles. There's a lot more to say. Just wanted to mention something before we hear from Nick Redfern. And that is one of our listeners pointed me to a site where supposedly you can get genuine alien technology that you can buy now. And I'm not sure what this all means. I'm looking at the site. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But it talks about motion virtual space age time machine journey to the year 6000 AD. That sounds like fun. I'd like to go to the year 6000. It's only $18,000, folks.
Wow, that's a deal.
Well, I think of it this way. If 100 people buy it, that's $1,800,000. Of course, that will pay the legal fees when they arrest me and put me in jail for it. I don't know whether that's what they're trying to do, whether it's meant as a joke, whether it's serious. I don't know. I mean, it's very easy to put up a website unless it's one that is used to go to the healthcare exchanges in the U.S. That's not so difficult. I understand there's a joke that someone tells that they hired a lot of Nigerians for that purpose.
Yeah.
But I just think that they could have hired web coders from college and done better. But that's another story, and this is the wrong show in which to bring it up. Of course, that's a huge political question, which I'm not going to get into at this particular point in time. Fact is, when they build those government websites, they use this range of contractors who've done it before. Whether or not they did it right or not is another issue entirely, isn't it? The book we're going to talk about is For Nobody's Eyes Only, and I resist trying to sing that to the tune of For Your Eyes Only. Subtitled Missing Government Files and Hidden Archives That Document the Truth Behind the Most Enduring Conspiracy Theories. I can't wait for Nick Redfern to tell us more. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift Server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low-sodium, low-cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the Celiac Spru seal of approval. Now get our March grab-and-go bucket special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
He's back, our good friend Nick Redfern, recovering from being Chris O'Brien's roommate at the Paradigm Symposium. So who walked out on whom there?
Well, it was one of those situations where I think to keep costs down, it was inevitable that everybody was rooming up and whatever. So we did the best we could under the circumstances, I guess. It was kind of tough, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, at first they gave us a room with just a king-size bed and a couch.
A couch, fold-out couch.
And that just wasn't happening. So I went down and arranged a switch to two queen beds. But Nick had to leave actually early Sunday morning for a taping with Prometheus Entertainment, the production company that does Ancient Aliens. Nick, how'd that go?
Oh, it was pretty good. You know, it's one of those things where it's like all conferences, I guess. Everybody's running around doing stuff, and before you know it, it's all over. But it's all good, you know. That's how it goes.
How'd your taping go with Brian and the Ancient Alien guys?
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, we just sort of covered Ancient Alien stuff as per usual. I guess it wouldn't be Ancient Aliens if we did anything other than sort of cover that area. Yeah, I like the show, and it's one of these that I think it's in its sixth series now, something like that. And
yeah, it's the sixth season they're taping now. Yeah.
It's amazing they keep coming up with new scenarios for Ancient Aliens, but, I mean, they do. I mean, that's...
Well, they picked my brain for three show ideas this year, so I had Tree Wright called me up early on and said, hey, you know, we're struggling here for new angles. You got any ideas? And I gave her a list of things, including the unexplained livestock death phenomenon and how it ties into UFOs. There are a number of UFO reports that are quite compelling.
I mean, you could actually tie that in with the ancient stuff about sort of ancient animal sacrifice, that kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that too. Well, Nick, you have a new book out that you gave a presentation about, fascinating presentation, I might add. And this book is really interesting. You just have a way of coming up with cool angles on how to approach the subject matter. This particular book kind of explains how the very lack of documents, let's say you do an FOIA request and the documents aren't there, you come up with a pretty interesting formula to figure out the meaning of behind some of these apparent disappearances of documents that should be there.
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting that that book wasn't actually my idea. And what happened was I wrote an article about the missing files from the Roswell case. And what happened was that the publisher of New Page Books, Michael Pye, liked the article and said, you know, hey, is there enough material where you could do sort of a bunch of chapters that would all cover missing files in relation to various UFO-related conspiracies and other conspiracies? Thought about it and looked into it and said, well, yeah, there is. And he said, well, you know, do you want to make that the next book? So, but actually happens quite often with New Page that I'm not the person who comes up with the idea. I'm simply contracted by the publisher to write a book in that field. For example, although of the 10 books I think I've done with New Page, I think only five I've come up with the idea. For example, Keep Out, The World's Weirdest Places, a few others, I forget which ones now, and the new one, they were all ideas that New Page wanted a book published, and the NASA conspiracies, that was the other one. They were all books that New Page wanted books publishing on, and so they said, would you be interested in being the person to write them? So sometimes, you know, it worked that way. Sometimes it's the other way where I'll pitch an idea to them.
Well, my impression, I've had a couple of contacts with Michael Pye, is he's a very aggressive, old-fashioned publisher. He's not just a corporate kind of guy. He gets right down and dirty into the process of finding a good book or taking an idea and finding the author for it.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, for me, I mean, I love working with New Page because they're very hands-on with the author. They follow the whole process from start to finish, and they don't just, they're not just in the market of putting out this or that. You know, they want to be able to put something that's new and that puts a fresh new angle on something. I mean, you know, for every, say, book I've written for them, I've maybe sent in three or four synopses which don't get picked up. And, you know, and that's how the publishing world works, that sometimes a publisher will like an idea, sometimes they won't, sometimes they will like it, but then they feel that, you know, it's not necessarily something for them. And that's all fine. That's how the publishing industry works. But I like working with them because you're right. They are sort of a hands-on, enthusiastic company. They're not just putting out every title under the sun for the sake of it. You know, they think about it carefully as to what's going to be a good book versus what isn't.
Now, I want to ask you one thing about the title, which maybe is self-contradictory, but maybe you'll explain to this. The subtitle is Missing Government Files and Hidden Archives That Document the Truth Behind the Most Enduring Conspiracy Theories. But if the files are missing, how do you know what they contain?
Well, the thing about them documenting the conspiracies is in terms of confirming the conspiracy. That's to say, you know, if we look into a particular conspiracy, for me at least, and this is one of the reasons why I agreed to write the book, there are two ways of confirming a conspiracy. One is by finding information and confirming it that way, or witness testimony. And the other way is when you go looking, it's not so much that you don't find anything, it's that you prove that things have been removed, deleted, or shredded. And that, for me, is a way of proving, not proving, but confirming a conspiracy. That's to say, if you don't find anything at all, you could say, well, there's no conspiracy, no cover-up at all. But if you find nothing, but you prove it's been destroyed, that's a very different thing. And that's kind of the theme that I took with the book, was to prove a conspiracy by actively demonstrating to the reader that things were done to the course of history as it related to that particular project or whatever.
What do you think is the most important or significant mystery that we're talking about here? Kennedy assassination, Roswell, what?
Well, I mean, I guess it really sort of depends on people's own personal perspective on what interests them. But for me, I would say it's Roswell. You know, the Roswell story, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is the one that even outside of sort of our community, everybody knows about. You know, everybody in the general public has heard of Roswell, even if they're not fully sure of the complexities. And what I found significant doing the research was this particular story about how all of the outgoing messages from the Roswell Army Air Force Base at the time, as it was, from 45 to 49, are literally just vanished. I mean, when I say gone, I mean they are gone. They're not acknowledged as being withheld or unreleasable or you can't see them. They just cannot be found anywhere. And more importantly, no surrounding documentation has ever been found along the lines of, you know, please transfer these files to this location or please shred these files. Nothing like that at all. There's not even a paper trail to say what happened to the entire 4 years' worth of files from 45 to 49, which in theory could offer some deep insight into what happened. I mean, 47, when Roswell occurred, is right in the middle of that period. You know, whatever those messages contained, even the Air Force, when it did its study, and the General Accounting Office, as it was called at the time, they acknowledged that they went looking for these files, and every door they went knocking on, nobody had them. Nobody could find them. And it wasn't a case of people said, go away.
Right now, Nick, someone's knocking on our door, and we have to answer it. So let's take a break. We got Nick Redfern joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food? What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new E-Patch 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register-required states.
What if you had a witness everywhere you drive? Now you can with video-cam.com. From truckers to motorcyclists, the handy video dash cam can be used for insurance claims, accidents, police encounters, road rage, or natural disasters. Has instant screen playback and optional night vision. Get the best quality, affordable HD dash cameras available at video-cam.com. That's video-cam.com. Or call 855-855-2022. Always have a witness with video dash cam.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Nick Redfern joining us with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And this session is mostly, we'll get to other subjects, mostly to talk about his new book for New Page Books called For Nobody's Eyes Only. And right now, you're inferring by all this missing data that there's a lot of stuff there about Roswell, that the government, at least on the surface, they do not have, but maybe they do have it, but it's funneled off to private industry, maybe, or what?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a good point. The problem with Roswell is not so much that we know something happened or that we have a tremendous amount of witness testimony from a lot of the old guys that served at the base in 47 and the very few who are still left alive. The problem is we have nothing at all to document what happened. And that's the big issue that I point out in the book, that regardless of what happened on the Foster Ranch in New Mexico in the summer of 47, the fact is, from all the testimony, there was a tremendous attempt and successful attempt to recover all this sort of weird wreckage that was found on the ranch, and even stories about bodies or body parts and wrecked craft, things like that. So, in other words, there should somewhere be a tremendous paper trail, regardless of what happened. The problem is, all we have is like one or two pages of FBI documents that talk about the press release and what the military was supposed to be going to be doing, but that was it. There's nothing else at all. Now, in 1993, we know this because in 1993, the New Mexico congressman, Stephen Schiff, at the time, got interested in the story and went knocking on the door of the Air Force to ask what happened and, you know, were correct procedures followed, regardless of what actually happened at Roswell. And the Air Force basically referred him to the National Archives, and where the Air Force's UFO files are held. Schiff wasn't pleased with that and went knocking on the door of the Pentagon, and who again referred him to the National Archives. And Schiff actually himself said he felt he was being given a runaround. So he then approached what's today called the Government Accountability Office, but back then was called the General Accounting Office, and asked them to investigate the case and determine if proper procedures were followed and what paperwork might be available. And the GAO never really done anything like this before with like a UFO case, but they were up for the task and investigated it. They went knocking on everybody's door. Other than a couple of documents, one-page documents that have been in the public domain for years through the Freedom of Information Act, nothing at all surfaced. And it was during this process with the GAO that this intriguing revelation was made that all of the outgoing files, records from Roswell from 45 to 49 were gone. And more importantly, the GAO informed Schiff that despite all their power and investigative abilities, even they couldn't figure out who had given the order to remove the files or destroy them because there was no surrounding paperwork. So that in itself, for me at least, is a suggestion that at some point, when we don't know, but at some point somebody clearly removed, almost like vacuumed all the material. And my guess is that it probably all remains in one just consolidated location, you know, far away from pretty much any prying eyes, including the GAO.
Now, I mentioned this earlier, and I just said it as an offhand comment, but it's not something that I guess we could ignore, and that is one way to get rid of these documents is to give them to someone in private industry. So, therefore, there's no paper trail as to where it might have gone. It could be handled verbally. There's plausible deniability here. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it could be because obviously, you know, military agencies do work closely with private industries in weapons development, things like that. And the important thing is the Freedom of Information Act doesn't cover private industry. You can only use that, you know, to secure government documents. You cannot use it to secure documents from private corporations. You know, you have to go through sort of legal channels to do that. My personal opinion is that the Roswell case is probably falls under the auspices of what are known as SAPs or special access programs. That's the official terminology for them, where, you know, person A and person B can both have a top secret clearance, but only person B has access to that specific special access program because he or she is working on it. And despite the fact that other people have the same secrecy level, they don't know anything about it. And the reason why I think Roswell is probably contained within one of these SAPs is because if everybody and his brother in the Pentagon or the military or the intelligence community knew about it, we would be getting far more leaks about Roswell. But if you think about it, most of the testimony we have from people who've spoken out about Roswell are the old guys from 47. If you actually think about it and look at the amount of testimony on Roswell from, say, the 60s or the 70s, in other words, the people who had knowledge of it then, or the 80s, it's actually very small, almost minute. All the testimony comes from the 40s. So in other words, this leads me to believe that way back when, all of this material and the evidence and the documents was probably consolidated into one location. And I actually think the reason why we don't know the truth and we don't have the files is because the project itself may actually be very small. You know, we hear all these stories about Area 51 and back engineering and whatever. But what if that's actually a ruse? What if all they've really got is a few bodies, you know, a pile of wreckage, and they haven't really made much headway with it, and it's just stored away? That would actually be a reasonable explanation, in my opinion, as to why we don't have the truth, we don't have the documents, because there's actually not that much being hidden. I'm not convinced that all these stories about back engineering and super secret gigantic projects are true. I think it could be the exact opposite, that they're scratching their heads and they've just stored it away, kind of like the final scenes in Raiders of the Lost Ark, almost, and maybe they pull it out every few years for the next group of scientists to take a look at, but, you know, that, perhaps that might explain why it's so successfully hidden.
So it comes down to this here, and that is that there could be, number one, in a Warehouse 13 or a place where they just stuff things they can't explain. This way it's plausible deniability, out of sight, out of mind. We know nothing about it. We have no secret evidence. So all these stories where people might have allegedly reverse engineered Roswell records, and we think about the notorious Philip Corso episode, you think they have no validity, whatever?
Well, the problem I have with the Corso story is that, you know, Roswell happened in 47, and we're led to believe that all these fantastic developments immediately in the sort of post-war period, 40s and 50s, happened so quickly. You know, the idea that we could get our hands on a craft constructed acted on another world involving technology that allowed it to travel from there to here, which would be massively in advance of us. And somehow we cracked the code within months or years, and suddenly, you know, we're using all this technology. To me, that's just not plausible. You know, it just comes across as just over the top. You know, I would think we'd be looking at 30, 40, 50 years and possibly even looking at it now to try and understand technology developed on another world, not sort of, you know, developing it within months or, you know, a few years of getting hold of the wreckage half a century ago. That's the big problem I have.
You know, it's almost like you take the proverbial iPhone 5S, the new one with the 64-bit processing and the fingerprint sensor and all this stuff. You send it back through time, say, 100 years, and you say to the people, figure it out. What is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would argue even if you sent it back to 1947, the very year the Roswell crash, and gave it to the world's leading scientists, I do not believe they would replicate an iPhone or an iPad within 2 or 3 years. And by the same token, if they couldn't replicate an iPad or an iPhone in 2 or 3 years, how the hell are they going to replicate something developed on another planet? Never mind on this one. That's the problem I have. Not the idea that we might not try and back engineer alien technology. The problem I have is the time frame that Corso claims all of this was successfully achieved.
Plus, a lot of the inventions that he claims were salted into the private industry, or all these developments, there's a definite paper trail and a research trail and chain of experiments and stuff for a lot of these things. It's not like they just appeared in a vacuum.
I could say, just to be contrary, which I always am, I could say that the paper trail is not relevant. And the reason it's not relevant is because that could have been faked later. It makes perfect sense that there wouldn't be a paper trail of alleged alien technology. You know, just saying that. We have Nick Redfern joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low-sodium, low-cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the Celiac Spruce Seal of Approval. Now get our March Grab-and-Go Bucket Special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
There is no truth to the rumor that we have Nick Redfern come on here just to do our little bumper thingies, the PowerCast. The fact of the matter is, I happen to like Nick. The fact of the matter is, he writes great books, he has great ideas. And this, as we were talking here about the fact that even if we had gotten the wreckage of a Roswell spaceship, we wouldn't even be able to get around the edges in learning about the technology. Now, what I was also thinking here, and this is another thing, what about the bodies? Okay, so we can't figure out anything about the technology. That's understandable. We're dealing with technology hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us. But what about the alien bodies? Where would they be? What would we know about alien physiology? Or maybe they're so close to being human that, you know, it's something that isn't terribly unique or unusual.
Well, you know, I mean, again, the big question is, how could the bodies be hidden? And my answer would be very successfully, because it may not involve a gigantic project to study them or you know, a great number of people. And by that, I mean that, let's say hypothetically, they found 3 or 4 bodies at Roswell, or body parts, and some decomposed and some not, scooped it all up and tried to preserve it as best they could. Well, and took it somewhere, you know, that was secure and safe, probably somewhere where, you know, there may have been concerns even about alien contamination, biological contamination. So the likely places would be somewhere like Fort Detrick in Maryland, or the Dugway Proving Ground, where a lot of research is undertaken into exotic viruses and things like that. You would want a sterile environment. But the fact of the matter is, when you confirm, yeah, it's a body, it used to be alive, and it's not human, and it's clearly not from here, if you actually have no contact with the phenomenon itself or the entities behind the phenomenon, and all you've got is a bunch of corpses, there's really not much you can do beyond autopsying them and saying, well, yeah, they're not from anywhere around here. You know, it's like, what else can you do with them other than autopsy them, prepare reports, take pictures, and preserve it for posterity?
It doesn't take very many people to do that.
No, and the important thing is, when you've done all that, how much further can you take it? That's the problem. And I think, again, that's why the issue of the bodies is so incredibly well hidden, but easily hidden, because it doesn't take much to just hide, you know, four or five bodies in cryogenic containers, say 50 feet underground, and have a couple of guards on the door. I mean, you know, it's not rocket science. It's easy to do.
And if you keep it limited to a small number of people, maybe, just maybe, you could keep the secret, or is that still almost impossible?
Well, the secret hasn't actually been kept because we're talking about it. The big thing is that the secret, as far as like the mainstream media is concerned, is that it hasn't been believed. That's the issue. You know, we're talking about dead bodies, alien bodies and craft, etc., and wreckage, because the story has been talked about, it's leaked out. But the problem is nobody has the proof to confirm it. And I think, again, this comes down to the fact that it's so deeply hidden by one of these special access programs, because there's really not that much to hide. You know, there's a bunch of wreckage and several bodies, and that's it. And I think, you know, when you look back at the GAO report, and I mentioned this in the book, I mean, I'm actually probably one of the few Roswell researchers who thinks there was a conspiracy, who doesn't believe that the Air Force was lying when it put out its mogul and crash test dummy reports. I truly don't believe the Air Force were the bad guys in this. I think the Air Force, when the GAO instructed them to look for files, I think the Air Force went looking and actually came up blank, but they felt the responsibility was on them to try and at least come up with some explanation. And I think the explanations they came up with were flawed. That's to say that the mogul balloon one and the crash test dummies, but I don't think it was a case at all of the Air Force sort of being the bad guys or rubbing their hands together saying, yeah, we pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and they were sitting on all the wreckage. I think today's Air Force probably knows no more about Roswell than we do. So that goes the same for everybody saying the CIA. You know, you don't join these organizations and they suddenly tell you what happened at Roswell 60-something years ago. That would be ridiculous. So again, I think, you know, there's this misconception that if an agency comes out with an explanation, it's got to be a cover story. It may just be, as I think, their best guess or their best estimate based on the fact that they couldn't find anything. I mean, a lot of people forget this. In the official Air Force report on Roswell, when they come up with the mogul explanation, they actually admit that they didn't find any records to confirm the mogul theory. It was just their best estimation of the facts.
Almost shows them being stupid, doesn't it?
Well, no, not really, because what it demonstrates is...
Well, you know, I don't know. We're the government. We're supposed to know everything, but we don't have any information.
Yeah, but if they've destroyed all the records and then years later they go back...
No, it doesn't make them stupid. To me, what it means is that the truth, the real secret about Roswell is so incredibly well hidden that not even the Air Force of today can penetrate that secret. So it doesn't make them stupid. It means they're out of the loop. That's what it basically means.
I'm kind of just being sarcastic about that, but let's look at who does know the secret. Does the president know that we have this information lurking somewhere?
Well,
who knows?
Well, that's the problem. We don't know who's got it, who's accessing it. So the thing is, it might well be that the reason why the secret is so well kept, and this would probably appall and disappoint people in the UFO field because it prevents possibly it ever coming out. It may be nothing's being done with it all, but it really is just stored away because, you know, if you think about it logically, let's say there's never actually been any face-to-face contact between the intelligences behind the UFOs and the government or the military. You know, there's a lot of reports, a lot of cases, but no actual proof of who these things are or where they're from, whatever. If all they've got is a bunch of wreckage and bodies stored away, there's really only so much research you can do on both before you just say, well, what else can we do beyond just preserve it? And that might be why the secret hasn't come out, because there's not a great deal of work being done on it. It's just stored away, you know, kind of like in the equivalent of somebody's attic or whatever. And people might say, well, that's impossible. Of course, they'd be researching it. Well, they would to a point, but you're going to reach a point where what else can you do other than preserve it? And maybe that's where Roswell is at now, that the keepers of the secret feel they've done all they can. They don't want to obviously destroy unique materials, but it's just, you know, there's a guard on the door 24/7, but nobody ever does anything with it, you know.
So is there any hope that we'll ever get answers to any of these things related to Roswell, or will we just be having turf wars for the next 50 years?
Well, I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm an optimistic person. But if I look at it realistically, I don't think we have a chance in hell of proving what happened at Roswell unless this special access program or the keepers of the secret, however you want to term them, until they decide we're going to get to see it. And of course, if there isn't that much, you know, if you've just got like a 100 foot by 100 foot underground room where it's all preserved, unless they want to release it, you know, nobody has a chance of getting into there or accessing it or whatever. So my view is that unless circumstances change, we won't get the truth. And of course, the big question is, well, why would the people hiding the secret reveal it anyway? You know, there would be no real motivation from their perspective to do so. So I just don't see how we can take Roswell any further. Now, that's not to say we don't have a lot of credible testimony. We do. But we don't have the hard evidence, and I just don't see, you know, if I'm honest, which I want to be, you know, I have no way of understanding how we can ever access the hard proof of Roswell.
What about the Dream Team and the story about slides showing a body?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is interesting because it's another development. But at the end of the day, I think the only thing that will ever really satisfy anybody, you know, in terms of actually having proof, whether it's the media, the UFO community or the public, is hard physical evidence. You know, photographs, imagery, film footage can be intriguing and interesting. You know, there are still people today who believe the alien autopsy film isn't a fake. So in that sense, anything else that surfaces that isn't a body or a piece of undeniable wreckage or a body part is always going to be open to question. It's never going to resolve it. You know, the only thing that will resolve Roswell is the hard physical evidence that came down on the Foster Ranch. Nothing else will ever, you know, fully work.
Well, some of that memory metal.
We'll go into that in a moment. We could use some memory metal. Or just some memories. Nick Redfern joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you only at HempUSA.org.